everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about episode 10 of season 3 today. And it is literally called The Magical Delights of Stevie Nicks. And this episode, they were really excited. They got spoilers. Stevie Nicks is here. They're really excited. They have Stevie Nicks here. Stevie Nicks does nothing of any
Let's also just throw out too. Stevie Nicks knows about witches, and you know is just like fine.
He's a witch, I think.
I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'll do you one better and spoil a season that's real far away from now. Yeah, Stevie Nicks is a witch. Confirmed. Has magic powers. We won't see that here. But I
Can
just
Stevie
thought
Nicks
I would
throw
lay
a Hadouken. Oh my god!
Almost, kinda.
Let's say yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Other stuff that's like comparable to that. So.
You know exactly what to say to keep me recording this podcast.
Yeah.
She definitely has offensive and defensive powers, is all I'll say. She's a multifaceted character.
She can do it in Kemi, but you don't see it. You know, just you have that's like in the extended universe. So, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we kind of just jump into it right away. This is an episode that's really, God, the pace of this episode is unbelievable. It's like very, very spiky, where there will be some kind of low-end conversations where not a lot is really getting done, or like a little bit of information is passively being transferred. And then the next thing that happens is like a character is out of the show permanently. So like, just be ready for... if it feels like we're messing up the pacing, I know you're already like deep enough. You're listening to episode 14 of this season. You know it's not us. But also, no, really, it's not us. It's obscene, this episode. This episode's crazy. Like, you'll have people being like, yeah, you know, I fell in love with a ghost once. And then the next scene, they're like, we're murdering Nan.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, it do be like that. And we start, like, it's weird because they have not been, at least for this season. I mean, they do it sometimes, but, like, this season they haven't. The cold open of this episode is just, like, it just starts straight from where the last one left off. There's not, like, a nifty little flashback that could have, which I think this specific thing that happens, I feel like could have definitely benefited from a flashback that gave some context. But they don't. They just kind of start where they left off as the hard open of the episode. And it's Fiona and Marie Laveau, which they do a lot of shots. I didn't make a note about this, but they do it a bunch when different characters are talking this episode, where they will have one character in frame being talked to by a character that's off frame, and the person that's off frame is being like picked up by a mirror that you can see in the corner of the room. They do that a lot this episode specifically, and I don't know why. I don't know if they just have like a different guy directing this episode or what. but I noticed that. I'm like, wow, we sure are doing a lot of these mirror shot for shot shots. Interesting. If there's not a metaphor here or anything, they're just doing it, I guess. But that's
isn't
what's happening.
There?
There's always a metaphor in an American Horror Story. The metaphor is bad writing. And like, I guess Marie and Fiona have just decided that it's fine now. That we're fine. Yeah. We're friends. It's fine.
Like, out of nowhere, it's just like, yeah, everything we've talked about in terms of a rivalry and me hiring your like daughter's husband to kill all of you. Like, just kidding. My bad. We're good. Right.
And the thing is, like, I guess like from Marie Laveau's point, we can see it as like an act of desperation. Like, sure, everybody on her team has been wiped at this point except for her. But like, Fiona's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
She wouldn't just be like, yeah, all right. Oh, okay. We're cool now. We're cool forever. Because it's not like manipulative, like I want to take advantage of you type of stuff. No, it like very much is like, oh, I'm going to help you out, baby bird. And it's like, that's not Fiona.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Fiona and Delia both, but primarily Fiona, will have a very weird attitude this episode where like she's like very distraught about the witch hunters and like that whole situation, when in reality I don't really think she gives that much of a shit. It's fucking Hank, and he's dead, so who gives a shit?
You know, I was also thinking today, like, if you look at the whole, like, KD ratio thing, like, the Coven's really good at getting rid of their own members, you know? Like, yeah. Much better than the Witch Hunters. Like, they're really more of a danger to themselves than anything, but...
Yeah, so it's weird that, like, Fiona is, like... I don't know, that she has, like, this weird, like, protective instinct now, which will be gone by the end of the episode, by the way. But, like, right now, she's like, I am the Supreme, and it's my job to keep all magic users safe, including the voodoo magic users, of which there's only one now. And I'm also, like, because Marie basically says something like, oh, all of my people died. And I'm like, Hank only shot like 5 people. Like,
right? Yeah.
Hank didn't shoot. And one of them was Queenie. Like,
who's the second one, though? We've only ever seen her do it, you know?
Yeah. So even Marie kind of says something to the effect of like, oh, it's weird you're being nice to me. This feels weird. And then Fiona's like, oh, well, if all of my people died, I would be real sad, so that's why I'm being nice to you. I'm like, first of all, Fiona would never say that. And it's not like she's, again, like Ty said, it's not like she's doing a prank. This isn't like a gambit. Like, Fiona's just being nice, which is weird. She's just being a nice lady.
Right.
And Marie's like, that's weird. And I'm like, you're right, that is weird. And Fiona's like, or not Fiona, Marie is like, yeah, no, it's not so much that. It's not so much that I'm upset about everybody dying. Like, I'm 300 years old, and everybody I love has died, so I don't care anymore. And I'm like, you cared an awful lot when they killed the Minotaur. I'm just saying, you were pretty tilted about that, if we're being honest. So I don't know how true that is, but go off, I guess. And that's just so that we remember that Marie Laveau is 300 years old.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Yeah. And she's like, all right, well, go to bed, sleepy, and then she does. and she is sleeping. Marie is sleeping. And we get introduced to a new character
I thought you meant she was calling Fiona sleepy. Like, go to bed, you're all tuckered out or something. I was like, I don't remember that scene, but yeah.
No, it's the opposite. Fiona says the opposite. She's like, get some sleep, sleepyhead, or something. That's, and I'm okay.
Right. Fiona just straight up, like, she pours it. She's like, here's some whiskey. That'll help you sleep. And also, I can cast a spell that makes you sleepy. Okay, good night. And then she does. She goes to bed.
Wow.
One step shy from just tucking Marie Laveau and kissing her on the forehead, truly.
How do you trust that spell, though, if you're Marie Laveau? You know what I mean?
That's like, what I said.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's I'll let you put me under. It's fine. The lady who's sworn to kill me for forever, my mortal enemy, who I hired a hitman to kill.
And yeah, sorry about tricking your daughters into, like, getting into a bullshit marriage and then hiring the guy to kill you and all that. Yeah, put me, yeah, I could go for the magic melatonin, that'll work great, thank you.
I guess, like, she just, because Fiona hasn't even said that she wants to know how to be immortal from Marie Laveau yet, and now she's just, like, knows, I get, yeah, again, I think this is one of those issues of, like, conflating what the audience knows and conflating what the characters know on the part of the writer.
Right.
Could be argued that it's more so that the writers forgot, because there is a very throwaway sequence in episode 1 where, or episode like 2, I think, where she does interact with Marie and is like, well, you made that racist lady immortal. Could you make me immortal?
Oh,
and Marie's
right.
like, eat shit. Your daughter was already here. And then that's the
right.
end
yeah,
of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right.
But then they totally forgot about that for the rest of the show. And then Delphine became a weird set piece that had a whole lot of other problems attached to it that wasn't Fiona being immortal. But now it's time to introduce a widely hated character, apparently, according to my research, because I had to be sure that I wasn't wrong, because the show wants you to believe that they're really right about this, and they're very not.
Yeah.
They're not right.
So... Marie is sleeping in bed, and I'm not even gonna give it the time of day. Baron Samedi walks in. It's just Baron Samedi. It's just Baron Samedi from like from the voodoo and all that. Yeah, like 100%. It's just him. Like, it's not, they give him another name and they make him do cocaine, but it's just fucking Baron Samedi. It's so weird that they were like, yeah, for some reason we want to rename the Haitian voodoo deity. No other ones. We'll just have Ska as is, but like, no. Gotta rename the, weird. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, very clearly, like, the costumage, the way he acts, the fact that he's, like, very vulgar and over the top and, like, doesn't give a shit, like, all that stuff. It is, like, up and down.
There is one thing.
Just that dude.
Well, there's one thing, though, which I can't stand his accent because it's not terrible, but, but it's, like, Homestar Runner with a Creole accent, because then it'd be like, that sort of thing is trouble. And I'm like, wait, no, you know, that's not how French works. Stop that, you know? Like,
I was very specific.
The second, the second scene where he appeared, I definitely had to turn on subtitles because there was a part where he like kind of collapses into a weird like a woo angry ball that I couldn't quite comprehend. Mm-hmm. And this is Lance Reddick we're talking about, so it's like really weird to have a problem with Lance Reddick over wooing. Well, didn't really come up a lot in his career.
It's, I don't know, and like Angela Bassett's not like a bad actress or anything, but I just feel like her accent sounds off too. Like, it doesn't seem like the right kind of like Creole kind of thing that they're going for. It just bugs me all around, but him especially, they're just like, yeah, I don't like Papa Legba is his name, which I, whatever.
Who is another?
Legba balls.
That's the most frustrating thing is it's not even like they just made up a new guy. They just named a guy who already exists, Baron Samedi. They named him a different wrong guy in this. In this,
I guess that is kind of Ska-Ha then too, because that's what they did with Ska-Ha. She's just a wrong character entirely with a different name. Okay, never mind. I retract my statement. They always do this.
Yeah, like Papa Legba is also a deity, but he's more like Santa Claus. Like, he's like the deity of like communication. Like, he's like a nice boy.
Oh my god, conflating Santa Claus with the god who's famous for being like an adult or for chasing mortal women even though he has a wife, swearing constantly, being like over the dead. Yeah, cool conflation, Deem.
Yeah, I guess they just thought nobody would know who Baron Samedi is, but like the circle, the Venn diagram of people who know who Papa Legba are and Baron Samedi, I would say is pretty big. I would say almost a circle. Like, if you know one, you probably know the other. Or conversely, if you know who Baron Samedi is, you almost certainly know who Papa Legba is. So it would be like, all right, most people are going to know this is wrong. We're going to just full send it anyway. Like, I don't... The only other thing I can think of, hold on, I have to look, I didn't fact check this. Hold on, I have to see if this
is
the case.
Neither did the people who wrote this. Don't worry.
When did The Princess and the Frog Disney come out? 2009.
No, it was after this, I think.
No, it was before. It was 2009.
What?
This was like 2012,
kidding.
I think. So they have a character. Princess and the Frog have a character who is very Baron Samedi esque. But isn't?
No, he's not.
And I wonder if they just like ripped that character. They saw The Princess and the Frog, and they're like, that guy. And then they just Googled voodoo god name, and then Papa Legba came up, and they were like,
killing me. What's his name? Hold on.
It just really bugs me too because like Baron Samedi in particular is probably the like voodoo deity that's used the most in like media and like Western media in particular. Like,
he's in
Spike. I have seen that iconography and that character a lot.
He's,
like, even fucking James Bond references that character.
He's literally
man who does voodoo named that in James fucking Bond. Yeah,
James
like,
Bond
shoots
him in the head and he's alive again. And like twice, like just to be.
He resurrects.
Yeah.
And goes, that's my thing. I'm the Ewa of the dead. Baron Samedi.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck off, Sean. That's the new show. It was the new one. Yeah. Live and Let Die. Yeah. It was Roger Moore. But, you know, let's live.
Yeah. Just so regardless, it was just like a really weird choice to pivot. Like,
so
I wonder if this is a case of they thought it was like less well known than it was.
I'm going to do the rare defense of Disney and say that Dr. Fossier is probably a little closer to Marie Laveau and that it's a mortal guy who's like calling on the voodoo powers and definitely is like inspired by like Baron Samedi for sure. You know what I mean? But like American Horror Stories isn't ballsy enough to be like, let's just wholesale take Baron Samedi and then control C, no, like copy paste, like find and replace the name with this other guy.
Truly. But. And they also do something just wild. They give a really weird characteristic to this character that is neither aligned with Papa Legba nor Baron Samedi, which is he does coke.
Baron Samedi was like famous for being fond of tobacco and rum. That is a far removed thing from having a dedicated coke nail and like
being summoned by cocaine
up for cocaine. Yeah. Like he's not Dr. Roxo, the cocaine clown. Like fuck off. Come on.
Which,
cause he literally like shows up and like has a huff of cocaine and goes, hey, what's good? You got that baby I need?
Oh my God. And I had to Google because I'm like, listen, I'm not like the most well-versed in this realm of information, but like, I don't think the cocaine is like associated with the folklore of either of these characters.
Cocaine, the refined product, as we know, cocaine is like well after the development of all modern religions. that's a new one.
Yeah, so when I was Googling, like, both Papa Legba and Baron Samedi, I was Googling those and then the word cocaine, all of the results, and I do mean all of them, are just people writing think pieces and articles about how much they hate American Horror Story for including this as a character trait for this character. And I'm like, so they just fucked up big style is what they did. They just pulled some shit out of thin air for this character.
They could have had him drinking a nice glass of rum and puffing on a huge cigar, and it'd be like so sick looking for the character, and like Lance Reddick could totally make that look tight. But instead they were like, you have a weird coke nail and you do a little bump before you do ghost stuff.
Also, you can be summoned if someone sets up like four lines of coke and says your name a bunch. You're like the Beetlejuice of cocaine.
I feel like it also kind of undercuts what they're doing here, because it's kind of like you have the coven and you have the voodoo cult or whatever you want to call it, right? And they're all women. And the corporation of witch hunters are men, so you have this kind of like sort of racial thing happening between the two covens or whatever, but you also have this like sort of like sexual dynamics, I guess, or gender. I don't know what you'd say. Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at though, right? But then like you kind of fuck it up when you have Marie Laveau now, who's sort of subservient to like Papa Legba in a way, you know, because now he's really the boss of the voodoo stuff, you know. So I don't know. It doesn't go too far anywhere there, but that just is like, wait, what are we doing? I thought we were doing the other thing, but whatever, I guess, you know.
Also
it's. To me, it's weird that, like, Papa Legba, or, you know, whatever, is just, like, totally dominant over Marie.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it feels like there would be, like, some kind of more working relationship, which, spoilers, they just, like, start having later on as soon as Fiona shows up. Because it's almost like Marie and Fiona were, like, supposed to be equivalent, so it's weird that Marie doesn't already have this in motion.
Yeah. It's also, like...
She's a talented lady! She should have this online.
That's the thing, because now it seems almost like, well, Fiona, like, earned her powers, more or less, or was born with them, I guess, and, like, Marie Laveau had to, like, trade her soul to get them from Papa Legba, and she's still beholden into him, you know, which is like just it's just odd, you know.
It's well, one we of those don't even really know if we don't know if she got her powers before or after making this like pact. We just know he made her immortal.
She does
develop some powers in the next 5 minutes though that are pretty fucking insane from what we've seen. But like also the weird thing about it is like I don't know. I looked up as much as I could. I did as much research as I could. I don't think there is any like correlation with either of the deities that this character could be associated with stealing babies either. That's not like a thing they're known for either of them.
That's American Horror Story.
Yeah.
They can't help themselves. They're like, man, we hadn't had somebody try to steal a baby all day.
Let's get them in there. Mm-hmm. They love it. That's not even a bit. They do. They love it when people try to steal babies. It's like one of their babies, pregnancy, and people stealing babies and women being pregnant. They love it. It's like their favorite plot device, and I don't know why.
It is like, it has to be a pin of every single season at some point. Yeah.
And then, like,
someone
also
hit this baby.
Yeah, because then we have the scene now where, like, Marie Laveau is just in a New Orleans hospital, just going in and stealing a baby, you know? Like, just walking out. And then, like, the nurse, like, oh, miss, you know, you have to, you shouldn't be here after, you know, whatever. You should be back in bed, thinking it's, like, you know, her kid, or it's like, mama's had a rough day. Then as she's leaving, the police come. And then Marie Laveau makes the strangest entreaty to them, because they're like, we can't let you leave with that baby. She says, you don't know the day I've had. You need to let me leave with this baby. Like, how is that ever going to work? You know, like, what persuasion is there that's like, all right, yeah, you got it. So,
speaking of that, it needs to be stated, because this does have, not a payoff for the show, but a payoff for us. When Papa Legba shows up and is like, hey, I'm here to collect my yearly baby. Marie's like, man, today has blown ass. Like, all of my family died. Like, can we maybe not do this today? And he's like, Lamau, LOL. No, it has to be today. I need this baby right now.
It's extra funny because you're miserable. Yeah. I love this. Sorry. I have your soul, so like, I love when you have a bad time. That's just like my deal, I guess.
Yeah.
Cannot overstate that he is literally like, oh, I know you're having a bad day. That's why I want you to go get it right now. Later on, spoiler alert, she steals this baby. She just keeps this baby for like 5 days. Like, and he never comes. He even comes to the house several times and never collects this baby that he demanded that she go steal.
Just a real piece of shit, that Papa Legba. It's like,
Legba is the worst creditor I've ever encountered in my life.
It's like,
oh, my God, yeah.
How long do I have to change these diapers, Papa Legba? I don't know. I might come pick him up anytime between 4 and 9 p.m. Just wait for me.
So anyway, Marie blows the magic powder in a nurse's face that says, okay, you can steal a baby. She goes outside. The cops go, ma'am, can't let you leave with that baby. She goes, please?
Yeah.
Like, they go, no. And they both pull a gun on her, which I feel like is, yeah, cops would do that. So she just starts screaming then, like her eyes turn white and she goes like, woo-loo-loo-loo-loo. And then they both immediately point their guns at each other and shoot each other in the head, which, okay, she can do that.
This plan sucks though. Like, we can't do any, like, there's no stealth way of doing this. Like, you have to, like, actually, like, kill cops and, like, draw attention to yourself and whatever for Papa Legba. Haven't we done this before, Marie? Aren't we used to it? No, okay, our friend. Forget it. Sorry.
She's been doing it for 300 years, evidently. So she's got, like, 300 babies under her belt at this point.
Yeah, I feel like at this point you have to, like, set up some kind of, like, nursery thing so you can just, like, you know, maybe lose one every year or so, you know?
Yeah. Like, run a daycare or something.
Wonderful nursery.
Yeah.
If you're only losing 0.01% of babies, that sounds fine.
Yeah. You know? Also, as she's, like, walking away with the baby starts crying, and she's just, like, mean to the baby. She's just, like, roasting the baby. She's like, I'll give you something to cry about. I'm like, why are you being antagonistic towards a newborn?
No, I think this is funny. I understand when I've had such a bad day that I'm just like, fuck you, refrigerator, you piece of shit. And it's like, what'd the fridge do?
You know, you just think, like, it's like, I'm having a really rough day, and this baby I'm gonna murder won't shut the fuck up. You know, like, Marie, like, come on, Marie. Like, let the kid have one thing nice.
Oh my God. Yeah. And cannot be overstated that Marie Laveau, who up until now has had to, like, set aside a whole day to do most spells, now has magic pocket sand that makes her be able to mind control people. And also can make her eyes turn white and then start screeching and everyone kills each other, like in Kingsman 1. So she can do that, I guess. No ritual needed. She just has magic powers that she hasn't had until now. I cannot overstate. This is what, episode 10? And we have not seen Marie Laveau just freeball a spell or a power once. Not one time has she used a power. But she does now. I guess that she's by herself. Now that she's by herself, she can use magic. They want her to be, I think, my theory is, I think they want her to seem more on par with Fiona. But they knew that if, because they also bring Fiona down to her level, because at some point later, Fiona, who has not had to do a spell, like a ritual, up until now, will have to do a ritual to obtain the outcome that she wants. So I think they were like, oh, well, we can't have one really powerful witch that has to do, like, a whole thing in order to use their magic, and then have a really powerful witch that, like, can just, you know, hip fire it. So we'll just have them meet in the middle.
Like, but then someone else is like, wait, doesn't it, like, kind of undercut it when the other one has to steal a fucking baby to appease her, like, demon master? Like,
yeah.
Look, I gotta go home, you know? Like, let's just fucking write it and be done. Like,
yeah. So then the opening sequence plays. We're now to the opening sequence of the show.
Sorry, everybody. We had to have a brief aside for Baron Samedi. It was just like, that was just like such a wild addition.
Yeah. And that's not, I would go as far as to say that's not the wildest thing that happens this episode.
No.
So it's time for everybody to start crying. Delia, Fiona, and Marie are all hanging out in the kitchen watching TV, watching a news report about Hank walking into the salon and shooting everybody. Delia is crying and is like, this is my fault because I told him I wanted a divorce and he did this because he thought that you blinded me or whatever. And I'm like, oh, what? What?
Yeah, right?
Like, where did that come from?
From this? Yeah, like, it's really? You sure?
Yeah, like, Delia, maybe I would have, I don't know, I would have, like, I don't know, I would have come up with 100 other reasons. Not limited to just, Hank is crazy, before it was, oh, it's because of the divorce. And then that's when Marie is like, oh, no, hey, sit down for, like, 5 minutes. I'm just going to fully explain Hank's subplot to you real quick behind the scenes because it doesn't make any sense. And then both Delia and Fiona are like, holy shit, you hired my husband to kill me? And then Marie is like, yeah, it's fine. He was going to do it, like, anyway, but don't worry. He's really fucking bad at his job. Like, abysmal. You're still here, aren't you? Like, he sucks. Like, big style. Like, he, again, cannot overstate. He was already gonna do it. I paid him again to do it also. Yeah, and he didn't do it either time.
Did we go over last time? Like, what was Maria's plan here? Like,
why? I really think that the Marie hiring Hank thing was a last second addition because they realized they weren't going to be able to tie together the two covens for like a uniting factor. Just having like this over looming presence of witch hunters wasn't enough. They're like, no, we have to drive Marie into the arms of the witches somehow. And so they're like, oh, well, just make the witch hunter that's married to Delia, like, somehow make him involved with her and then have him go, like, shoot all her people or whatever. Because really, again, I think I said it in the last episode, if you surgically removed Hank being hired, either that or it's supposed to be a red herring when he first walks up to... They wanted it to be a cool twist of like, oh, Hank was hired by Marie. What the fuck's that about? It was just confusing. It wasn't a good twist. It was just confusing. Yeah. And then it just made everything really convoluted for no reason.
Right.
And then Fiona, who is crying, I cannot overstate that Fiona and Delia are like openly sobbing for some reason after finding out that Hank was the mole. The whole time, like, it's fucking Hank. And again, like Marie just said, he didn't even win. He didn't even kill any of you. You have a zero. Higher kill rate for killing your own people than he does of killing any of you. Like, why are you so upset? All he did was kill the people who up until, like, one episode ago, for all intents and purposes, were your enemy. Like, if anything, he did you a solid.
if we don't count Resurrection, he's like tied with Fiona.
Yeah.
You know, like, actually, if you don't get, wait, no, because we have Myrtle, Madison, and then, yeah, so it's two. Yeah, okay, so Fiona's even winning if we don't count Resurrection.
And boy, Myrtle has killed two people. She killed both of the people on the council.
You're right. Wow.
And they're not revived. No, yeah, they're just dead. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but for some reason, Fiona and Delia are fucking weeping in this scene. Like, and I don't know why. I don't know what the incentive for them to be crying is.
I think it's just like they realize they got owned by Hank, and they're like just cannot come to terms with that. It's
they
like
didn't
the
get owned by Hank. Hank didn't do anything.
But they didn't know. He didn't kill anybody, but he like embarrassed them. He was like there the whole time, and they didn't know. That's like really embarrassing.
They're just cringing. They're like punching the air, cringing that they had to be around Hank.
I can't believe we let that shithead stay around for so long when he was just doing bad stuff.
And he was bad at it. Not all, like, that's got to be it. It's got to be just they're owned. Like, they're embarrassed. They're like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. They're
you
not,
never
like, mad because he was successful. They're just, like, really, really embarrassed.
Tell me you never like, let God, him do anal. Can't, tell me.
Yeah. If we can't fucking catch Hank, we're fucked.
Yeah, Fiona goes it's as true, far though. As to fucking, like, slap Delia in the face for being like, you brought him in here. I'm like, he didn't do anything.
I know.
How did you not know it's Hank? How did you not know? It's like, how did you not know? How did none of you know?
Also, then, and then when after she slaps Delia, Marie goes like, don't worry, it's water under the bridge. Like, you can't forgive anyone. You hired him.
You're the one who hired him. Yeah.
Like, ladies, let's all calm down here. Like, Marie, like, what? Get at
it. We're all trying to find the guy who hired the witch hunters.
Oh my god, yeah, this is a really funny scene, and they didn't intend for it to be, because again, they're like weeping, it's supposed to be like an emotionally charged scene, but it's just like, why is everyone crying? What do you mean? What is anybody talking about? And that,
like, the one person who it would make the most sense to cry, the person who just lost her entire, like, group of people, her entire squad, she's the one who's, and she's the one who's like, ladies, calm down.
So that happens, and then as they're like, after Fiona slaps Delia for marrying, the crime of marrying Hank, as though, let's be honest, I said this like probably 6 episodes ago, I'm like, Fiona is not a scrupulous person. She lies all the time. You're telling me that she never read dipshit Hank's mind? Like, that dumb motherfucker who was probably thinking, I'm a witch hunter, I'm a witch hunter, I'm a witch hunter, like, at all times? Like, she never
just reads his mind, and it's just the song from stage 1 of Castlevania, and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Fiona is mad at Delia for not catching it. I'm like, she doesn't have mind reading powers, Fiona. You do. What do you mean? Also, this will start a very odd, like, dynamic between Fiona and Delia for the rest of the show, or for the rest of the episode. Very odd, Delia.
Like, you remember how the last few episodes where Fiona like had huge, deep regrets that Delia was allowed to be blinded and that she had let her daughter down and she wasn't protecting her? And well, now a new danger has arisen that she also failed to protect her from. But this time it's your fault. You did this one.
And you're a failure again. Remember how I said I was proud of you because you tried to kill me or whatever with the sacred taking? Well, now you're a fucking failure again. I hate you.
Garbage.
I've been mom of the year, and here you are, like, marrying the enemy, I guess. Whatever.
Meanwhile, Fiona is fucking the Axeman who has been trying to kill the witches in the house actively for 60 years.
Well, 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 mother.
And she knows who he is, and she's still like, yeah, he's it for me, I think. My whole character is about getting that dick now. Oh my god. As they're leaving the room, they decide they're gonna kill the witch hunters. I don't know why they haven't done this before. P.S. They're gonna figure out everything about the Witch Hunters in roughly 20 minutes.
By Googling them!
Not 20 minutes time, like their 20 minutes.
They use the internet to learn more about the Witch Hunters, which, like, doesn't seem right, you know? Like, you shouldn't be.
Literally, they're just like, they're like, all right, it was Hank working for his dad. Okay, who's Hank's dad? All right, what company does he own? Okay, that's the Witch Hunters. And like, that was it. That was the through line. It took two mental connections.
And I forget the word, but, like, the father, like, his name's not Hank Fox. The father's name is, like, Renard, which is the French word for fox. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you didn't even try to hide this. Yeah.
When we got there, when I was watching that part, I'm like, holy shit, the Witch Hunters aren't even trying. This is such lazy fucking writing. And then I realized it's actually the opposite.
Oh.
It means that when Hank had to come up with a fake name, he's like, what's my last name? The French word for fox? Cool. My new last name is the word fox with an extra X. Hank kicks ass. I love Hank. I wish Hank was still alive.
Real,
Hank was the
real
best character.
Real fucking Peter Griffin behavior. Real Family Guy shit on that.
Just a little bit of Kingdom Hearts of adding that extra X for Hank.
Yeah.
This is
like,
my
holy right, shit.
My nobody form will marry Delia and then murder everyone.
Oh, they'll never connect me to my father, Harrison Fox with one X.
Yes, exactly.
Who's a known witch hunter?
Hank Renard Sr., aka Witch Hunter Extraordinaire. No connection there.
And Delia will say something to the effect of like, "Yeah, and that's his son, Hank." Or, I guess, that was his real name, but it's Henry. I'm like, yeah, Delia, that's what Hank is. You're so right. You're so right, bestie. You're so right. That is the shortening of Henry.
Can you imagine she was married to him that long and she didn't know? Like, Hank Jordan.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. That means Hank kept his real first name, too.
I think, yeah, and even that, like, I think they, like, you can be like, ah, well, he's too stupid. Like, he won't answer to Larry or something, so we have to make it Hank. Like, it's so
weird. Like, no wonder Hank was so, like, smitten with his witch wife that he was supposed to kill. She was so nice to him, and he was so fucking stupid.
She really
was. He's probably like... He's like, I like it with the witches more, I think. They're nice to me, even though I'm dumb. Whereas my dad's mean to me because I'm stupid.
He's so stupid, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll get there. So as they're walking out of the room to go Google the Witch Hunters, there's like a little blurb on TV of like, yeah, this lady stole a baby last night. Marie, like, turns it off. I'm like, damn, you didn't, like... I don't know, like, wipe the security cameras? How are you getting away with this for 300 years if they're broadcasting it on the news?
And Marie LaVeau is fucking famous in New Orleans. That part kills me the most. But anyway, yeah.
And had a public establishment that lots of people knew about up until, like, a week ago when it got shot up and was also featured on the news 5 minutes ago. Literally, the Hank story is right before the story about her stealing a baby.
I think, too, in New Orleans, there is literally a Marie LaVeau's, like, House of Voodoo shop, if I remember now. I just, is that canon? Yeah. Is that, like, not there in the American Horror Story world? I just realized that's, like, such a big, like a tourist spot thing, you know? But, oh, whatever, I guess.
They don't want us to know that. They're okay. Just hoping no one's been to New Orleans besides the people in the show.
Gotcha.
I miss my sweet angel.
Good news, everybody. It's time for musical interlude number one soon.
This is a great scene title for the notes, by the way. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Guess who's here? It's the love of my life, Misty. She's in a room by herself, just kind of dancing in the mirror, perfecting her, like, twirl, I guess, is what she says she's doing. Good for her. And Fiona walks in and is like, hey, what's up? She's like, get away from me, stinky. And she's like, no. I'm just here to, like, make you a better witch or whatever. And she's like, Misty's like, if you kill me, I will self-revive myself. Full disclosure. I already know how I'm going to do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
I have plans to self-revive. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. That's good to put on the table.
Yeah, especially since this lady has been shown to kill people kind of at whim. And as far as we know, like, there's not a counter to necromancy besides just killing the necromancer. But if the necromancer self-revives, that's just like a whole Ouroboros of, like, loopholes. Yeah. So. Fiona's like, don't worry about it. I already thought about that. I don't give a shit. Anyway, I'm going to give you the what to expect when you're the next Supreme speech. And she's like, I called someone to come hang out with you who's going to give you some advice because I figured you might be nervous. They go downstairs. She's like, I called a white witch to come talk to you. And it's Stevie Nicks. Yay. Stevie Nicks is here. And Misty passes out.
And she can't act.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Stevie Nicks. I love your music. Boy, howdy, you can't deliver a line to a TV camera.
Yeah. I think I actually remember, like, when this was airing, I remember Stevie Nicks, like, I think being interviewed and saying, like, when she first signed on to the show, she did not know she was going to be, like, a character. She thought she was just going to show up and sing a song and then leave. And they're like, no, no, you have lines. And she was like, oh, fuck, no.
Yeah, you know what? I would believe that based on the results.
And then they made her do it anyway. So Stevie Nicks is there. Don't worry. We'll get back to her and the musical interlude in a second. Right now, Nan, Madison, and Zoe are coming home from something. They were just like, what a morbid field trip that was. So I don't know if they went to, like, the hair salon to, like, see the crime scene or, like, what the deal is. But they kind of say, like, a kind of nebulous statement about, like, oh, well, we don't know that Queenie died. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like, she wasn't listed in the names of people, so that's like a breadcrumb that we're supposed to care about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any payoff this episode, so don't worry about it. They walk inside, and Stevie Nicks is there. We get 3 minutes of a whole Stevie Nicks song while everybody just literally stands and watches. You know, okay, so you know that feeling, that really awkward feeling when it's your birthday and everyone's standing around singing happy birthday at you and you don't really know what to do because mm-hmm. everyone's looking at you and singing a song? It's that.
It's fucked up that you're not supposed to sing happy birthday with them, right?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like you should be able to get in on the celebration because otherwise we've like, as a society, force people into one, I don't know what to do with my hands situation a year. And I think that's fucked. That's
like, no, and it's good. Not optional. You can't like opt out of it. They're going to do it regardless. Yeah, that's what's happening is everyone is standing around while Stevie Nicks sings at Misty. And like, for whatever godforsaken reason, they don't just ADR the song in. We get an MTV live sessions scene where she's just performing on the AHS set and the sound mixing is ass. The sound quality of the room is ass. It's also bad.
The big thing for me is, like, I was just like, I don't know, maybe it's like the way they compressed it and re-uploaded it to Hulu or whatever, but there's like an upper mid range of Stevie Nicks' voice that they really push, and it does not sound good. Like, Stevie Nicks is a very nice singing voice, but they really make her sound
not
super
anymore.
Nasally in this scene. It's really unflattering. Yeah, and like, not enough reverb to support her and stuff. It's just, it's weird. It's like they were trying to create this cozy, like someone singing with you in the room thing, but yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't come across as like diegetically pleasing, right? It just kind of, they just kind of do it. It doesn't work.
Which, in case you're wondering, like, does this accomplish anything? No.
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 Nope.
Her inclusion in this episode will do nothing except for give Misty a new article of clothing by the end of it. Madison walks in and like leans next to Fiona, who's just enjoying the MTV live sessions, and is like, oh, Stevie Nicks, that's cool. I love Eminem. Can you make him come here? And Fiona responds with something confusing. She goes, oh, Marshall? Oh, you're not his type. And I'm like, I have so many questions, Fiona. So you're on first name basis with Eminem, Because you dropped that, like, you have him on speed dial. Like, you're besties. Like, you guys are chatting every night. Second, Madison didn't say she, like, wanted to suck his dick. She just said, can you get him to come here and perform? So, a little out of pocket.
The other thing is... the thing they're trying to push is, like, the Supreme knows every single celebrity and every important person in the world. Which, like, the problem with that is... You can only, like, keep up a close personal relationship with so many people at once because they take a, like, this is like a studied and known thing. It takes a certain amount of your actual human lifetime to keep up a relationship. There's too many celebrities and too many powerful, especially if you're including every musician between Stevie Nicks and fucking Eminem. That's also, like thousands and thousands of people. It's dumb. Like, it's dumb.
What's even dumber is the character they have deliver this like back and forth with Fiona is Madison, who in universe is a famous actress. Yeah, she's a celebrity. Yeah. Like she's famous.
Right.
If anyone wouldn't give a shit, it'd be her. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very strange. I just think it's funny that Fiona's on first name basis with Eminem. Then Madison's like, okay, but like circling back to Misty being the next Supreme, she doesn't have any of the seven wonders, which I thought was the criteria for being the Supreme. And Fiona's like, it's probably fine. She'll probably get them. It's probably okay. Like, we're just gonna wing it. And then Stevie Nicks is like, I'm gonna teach you how to twirl your shawl correctly. And I don't know if that's a reference to Stevie Nicks and something that Stevie Nicks does.
Stevie Nicks was famous for doing long, flowy like dresses and shawls and things and like spinning around in the mid performance. That was very much a Stevie Nicks calling card. Yes.
Would you say it's something you need to practice that you could have like bad form on?
No.
Okay.
No. I also don't think it's something that Stevie Nicks would like. Like, I don't think she would, like, walk into a room and people would be, like, not recognizing her. And then she'd, like, pull out a shawl and spin around and be like, oh, my God, that's Stevie Nicks. Like,
The girls are arguing about who's... Oh, by the way, Stevie Nicks gave Misty her shawl. I don't know if that was, like, part of the deal when Fiona called her or whatever, but she gives her shawl. So now Misty has Stevie Nicks' shawl. That's kind of important, but not as important as you would hope it would be. The other three baby witches are arguing about who's going to be the Supreme upstairs. And Zoe is like, Madison, you can't be the Supreme because you have a heart murmur. And Madison's like, not anymore.
This is so stupid. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, like retro. I don't know that like. That's not how the Supreme works. If you're not it, you're just like not it. It's not like being the American Idol.
Let's be real. We clearly don't know how this shit works, and neither do they. Because no one's done the experiments. No. Nobody's done the legwork. All they know is if you can convince one to kill themselves, then it moves on faster. I think that's like literally all they understand about how the Supreme works.
I didn't really get this, and maybe this was me missing something. Because then when like, because Madison's like, oh, nope, heart murmur's fixed, and like Zoe first is like, bullshit, Nan. And then Nan walks over and puts her head on her chest like, no, it's real. She's cured. I'm like, wait, I thought you did mind reading, though. Like, how did she?
I mind read her titty.
You can't do that.
So as and I think this might be explained later, but they just straight up mentioned like they're like, oh, yeah, no, I have other powers now, too. It's stupid. And they're like, what? Nan's like, yeah, I can mind control people now. And they're like, that's dumb. And then Nan does do that. So, again, the whole. Only the Supreme gets extra bonus powers or whatever is totally out the window because now literally all of them are just developing bonus powers.
Speaking of like,
except for Zoe.
By the way, speaking of random edgy things from this episode, how do we prove Nan has power? She makes Madison put out her cigarette. Okay, now put it in your vagina, and then Zoe has to jump in like, no, whoa, Nan, hang on there, you know, like let's not do. Which, but like, what the fuck? Like, why, Nan? Jeez.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird interaction between the three baby witches this episode. Also, they just pretty much breeze over that, like, Madison doesn't have a heart murmur anymore. Like, why? Who fixed it? Was it Misty?
I would go as far as to say that is not the most important detail that they gloss over this episode. There's one person who has something missing that's even more insane. This episode. So we cut back to. Are they just like hanging out in an office at this point? I can't remember where they're discussing this.
They go back
this.
Downstairs. So I guess Delia went upstairs and got her laptop. And then she comes back downstairs to the kitchen where they just were. And it's like, I have Googled everything about the witch hunters in 20 minutes. I feel like if it was my job to keep all of the witches in the United States safe in my house that is designed to keep witches safe, I would maybe be more proactive about Googling stuff about witch hunters if it was this easy to find.
Run a background check on every adult involved in the facility. Yeah, hi, I'm Ty Tuesday. I went to the Indiana Academy, which was a school you would like go to and live at the ages of like 15, 16, 17, and 18. So, yeah, no, they do that at normal school. This one wasn't for witches. This was just for, like, kids. This one was just for, like, teens. Like, kids who were, like, a little above average at math or whatever. And, yeah, no, they background checked every single person who was involved with that shit in any way, shape, or form, man. Like, yeah, you had someone you were in, like, a close relationship with. They'd look up stuff on them, too. Yeah, it's unbelievable that the person who can just mind read someone and know everything they know not only didn't do that, but didn't even type that shit into Google. It's embarrassing.
It's really
especially
bad.
Since Hank did such a dog shit job hiding his identity.
I know.
By making Henry into Hank and then making the French word for fox, Renard, into just fox with two X's. Oh my god, that's Hank kicks so much ass. I wish he was still alive. Hank is probably my favorite character this season. So the way that they they go over like, oh, this is, here's the Google Images results for all of the things about the Delphi Corporation, the witch hunters. What are we going to do? And then Fiona's like, we have to make them not make money anymore. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're doing this whole thing of they worship at the altar of money, and that's all they care about is money. So we need to get rid of the money, and then they won't be able to witch hunt. And I'm like, wait, but they're witch hunters. Shouldn't they care about witch hunting and the money's like a cover and that's not really the thing? Nope. Apparently it's the other way around. They like got really into money and then they were like, yeah, let's do a little witch hunting on the side, which does not work.
No.
So... Yeah. They decide to set up a ritual, which, as Liz mentioned, the witches, not usually ones to do rituals, but today they were like, hell yeah, brother, real ritual, not the sacred taking. This one actually does shit. get a bunch of fat stacks and a mouse maze.
Yeah, this is an expensive ritual, too, because you need like $100,000 just... around, you know, or whatever, like,
and a bunch
stacks
of mice and a pre-made little maze for the mice.
Oh, yeah.
like a nice mouse maze too, like that's like artisan, that's like for like the nice mice. The bougie mice.
That's for rich,
the hipster
mice
maze.
Yeah, the
yeah,
yeah.
And they like make the mouse go through the maze so that the witch hunter organization gets audited by the IRS, I guess?
Or the SEC, right? Because then the SEC is like, we gotta look over all your books. Which I think, like, for giant corporations, like, that is not that, like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, but...
Yeah, like, were they also doing, like, money laundering on top of being witch hunters? Was that part of the deal? Were they also, like, moving funds, like, illicitly?
Like, yeah, because real talk, if it's just, like... paying two guys, one of which is the CEO's son, and then also like giving them some money to fly around, that would be unbelievably impossible to detect in a multi-billion-dollar company. There is not a snowball's chance in hell you would be able to detect a $20,000 blip in a, you know, $20 billion company. Just, it's just impossible, right? It's really dumb. They're out of money now, I guess. They like
it happens immediately.
No.
They're just like, oh my god, our stock's tanking. Which is also crazy. But, like, yeah, it's just like, all right, now I guess
everyone says they won't do business with us anymore. That we're bad.
What do you
and
do?
They won't do business.
What do you?
Because we're bad. And I'm like, do you know how evil companies are? Like, holy shit. Do you think that's like, you're getting audited once a little bit. Sorry, we're out of there. No companies would work with any companies in the United States.
Wait, you cook the books? How dare you? We don't do anything like that at a major corporation. Like,
that's like the default status. Like, if anything, they'd be like, you're not cooking your books? What the fuck?
Yeah. You're expensing this phone call, right? You know, like, yeah, it's bullshit. Like,
this is where Hank gets his IQ from, I guess. Maybe it was just doomed from the start. So, that happens. They do that ritual. Now it's time for a little field trip to the hospital with Nan and Zoe.
One more time, just so the audience is aware, because it's a little unclear. They do the ritual, and immediately the company's bankrupt, and then we're on the next scene. Like, it just goes that fast. I'm sorry, just because I was still kind of thrown by that.
Which, holy shit, if that was the case, and witches just needed to, like, make a mouse run through a maze to, like, bankrupt a billion, like, Google, essentially, or like a bank. The government would be hiring the witch hunters for sure. Like,
or the witches,
they would be hunting witches actively for sure.
That's a big deal.
Also, so I don't think it comes up yet. It probably won't come up this episode of the podcast, but after a later in like involvement with the witch hunters, he just straight up goes like, ooh, this is definitely witchcraft. We gotta get around to those witches. I'm like, my brother, you have had hundreds of years.
Yeah.
How did you be like, oh, right, we're witch hunters. We're supposed to be hunting witches. I was just making billions of dollars in tech futures. Whoops.
Also, that's quite the call. Like, the SEC, that's gotta be witches. Like, they also have a job, you know? Like, you know?
The witches. No. Also, like, remember he was crying in the last episode because Hank died? Like, that wasn't what made him be like, the witches, we need to get our revenge on the witches. He's like, no, my company. Oh my god.
I knew Hank was gonna die, but the company should have survived, my true child.
So Nan and Zoe are going to the hospital to visit Luke, and they start talking to the front desk person, who it just breaks every single regulation possible about sharing medical information at one time, because they walk up and go, hi, I'd like to see Luke, and she's just like, oh, he's fucking so dead.
He's dead. Three guys took him away to the morgue. Their names were Patrick, Michael, and Steven. Their blood types are O positive. One of them drives a Prius.
Can you sit behind
the desk?
Here's
a list of three conditions. Here's all of the medications they're allergic to. Yeah, I'm just going to unlock my console if you want
to
come back here.
Jump on here. I have to take a smoke break if you want to just tell other people that Luke died. That'd be cool, you know?
You know what? If you click this part of my mouse, you can unlock the mouse wheel so you can just scroll and look at more patient records faster.
I recommend looking up Ms. Hopkins. It's real funny. You know, like,
oh, good ones in there. You know, we have an old Obama record.
Check that out. Oh, and so Nan is like, no, Luke's dead. Well, I gotta go find the body. That's going to be the subplot of this episode, is finding Luke's body. We're back with Marie and Fiona, and I'm not making this up because I'm not this funny. Marie is, like, vaping rattlesnake sperm, vaporizing it, rather, to fix Fiona's cancer. And Fiona's laying on the bed like, ouchie, my cancer. Also, by the way, I have a boyfriend. Have you ever had a boyfriend? And that's when Marie's like, holy shit, this lady sucks. She's like, no, I don't have time for that. I did one time. He got turned into a minotaur or something.
She thinks back to Bastion, and she's like, what'd they do to you, Bastion? And it's like, what? You need to, like, remember the good times.
Yeah. I think. then Fiona's like, hey, well, I got you here with the rattlesnake sperm. Do you think you could make me immortal like you made that racist lady immortal? And Marie's like, no, I fed her my tears. And I'm like, oh, okay, no follow up on that. Because it worked. She is immortal. Yeah. So could you like cry into another vial and feed it to Fiona? Is that not a thing you could do? She brushes it off in the way like a parent doesn't want to take their kid to the park, brushes it off, being like, oh, I don't think the park's open today. Like, she offers like no follow up to, no, I can't do what I did to Delphine to you. Well, why? Don't worry about it. I fed her my tears? And Fiona's like, oh, well. Well, how are you immortal then? Because you're also immortal. And Marie's like, Papa Legba, you know, the deity of speech. Or wait, no. According to American Horror Story, K'Ron, the Grim Reaper of this universe. And then we get a flashback of how Marie came to, like, make her deal with quote-unquote Papa Legba. she's having a baby, and she has the baby, and then Papa Legba.
Part of the funny part is she's like, I was on top of the world. I thought I was hot shit. I was unstoppable. I was on top of my game. My style too fresh. My bitch is too hot. They'll kill you, Marie Laveau. And so, like, but then it's just her sitting in a chair with a baby very quietly, and it's like, well, that doesn't really match the way she built up how she was acting at the time. She's like, yeah, Papa Legba must have heard me, like, boasting and wilding out, and it's like, well, but you're just, like, chilling quietly with a baby. That doesn't work. Well, either way, she's chilling quietly with a baby, and Baron Samedi shows up to do a line of coke and be like, so, you want to live forever?
And he specifically says, I will make you immortal if once a year you give me what I want. Which, listen, you're like the voodoo queen of New Orleans, and your first thought wasn't to be like, what does that mean? Can you clarify? Magical deity that just showed up in my house? Can you clarify what that means? Like, can I get some more explicit terms as to what that means? She's like, nah, I figured it was he wanted a beach once a year.
Part of being a powerful mage, summoner, relator to the spirit realm of any form is like a constant respect of both the unknown and the fact that, yeah, something might be a little above you. You just gotta be nice at all times when interacting with the unknown. Nah, you just say like, yeah, deal. Put it here. Put him here, idiot.
No more information.
I'm immortal. For one beach a year, free, bro.
Serious, right? Like, but yeah, no, that's not.
And it's not. It isn't even like the Axeman who like said the reverse where he said something
I
that
want
sounded
release.
Yeah, he didn't say yeah. something super horny where it's like, oh, okay, he wants like a hand job for in exchange for whatever.
He's like give me what I want. He's like, I will need you to render a service to me. And she's like, oh, okay.
Starts tying up her
God.
It's like, no.
Yeah. and then he shows up the next year like, hello, I'm here to make good on the thing that I wanted. And she's like, great, BJ time. And he's like, what? No.
Hey, I never said swallow.
I want the baby.
Like, excuse me? Wait, no. Hold on. That's not.
yeah, he's like, I want
no,
that baby.
I didn't
baby.
Want you to compose me like Blowji Khan. I wanted that baby. Give me that
wait,
kid.
We're not even being like gross for humor's sake. Like, she literally does say, like, I thought it was like something of the sexual nature. Or in that terrible, like, I thought it was of the sexual nature. And it's like, that's not Creole, but whatever. You know, fine. And like, and then it's like, no, I want your ear.
Which, hey, if like a voodoo guy shows up when you're like holding a baby immediately after having a baby and you're like, boy, howdy, I love this baby I'm holding. And a guy shows up who's like, any innocent souls you got? Well, anyway,
right.
You can't take the deal.
I love two things, cocaine and stealing babies.
Maybe that's why.
A well-known fact.
Maybe that's why she can't blame Delia. It's like, yeah, sometimes you just kind of zone out. You know, like, the queen of voodoo. Like, you should have some fucking idea of what's going to happen now.
And to put it in perspective, later, Fiona will have a very similar interaction with Papa Legba and will, in fact, explicitly be like, hey, wait a second. What does that mean?
That's what kills me, too. Cause
like, immediately.
He's not even, like, obtuse, you know, where he's kind of like, well, maybe something about, you know what I mean? He's always just like, well, it'd cost you, like, something like this. He's like, you know, He's like pretty clear, actually. Like,
yeah, he's like, would you? He's like, once a year or so, I'm gonna drop in and ask you for something. Would you be willing to kill somebody you love? Would you be willing to do this thing? Would you be willing to give me the soul of an innocent? Like, and he just like lists out a few things, and Fiona's like, yep, yeah, all right, no problem. Yeah. Shake on it.
She's like, half of those I do for free.
Yeah.
So absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, this is my will. I should come to you right at the start, honestly.
Oh my god. And so that's and then he takes the baby. And she's like, no, my baby. And like again, like he came back like a year later. So I guess he didn't require a down payment or anything.
I do like that he immediately started, though, being a piece of shit right away. Because the first thing he says when he shows up, he's like, motherhood looks good on you. And then he's like, okay, well, anyway. Not for long.
Yeah. He literally says that. He's like, yeah, well, you're not supposed to be a mom. See you later. Which, I mean, again, after 300 years, at what point does it become just easier to make your own? And then just start handing off your own instead of stealing other people's babies. So yeah, that's the backstory of how Marie Laveau, got immortality, I guess.
Yeah.
There's not much to it plot-wise. Like, what is, you may be asking, well, what is his incentive? It's just a generic nebulous, like, D&D villain, like, wants the souls of the innocent. For what? I don't know. Have him, I guess. Maybe he just likes babies. Like, he's not weird about it. He doesn't kill or eat the baby. He's just like, hey, sick, a baby. I love these things. And then, like, walks away, like, cradling it. So it's like, do you just like hanging out with them? Like, do you think they're neat?
It's a very bizarre motive. Because, like, they want to have these, like, you know, beings at the top that are just mysterious with undefinable motivations and impossible to understand, you know, ideas. But this one's just like a guy who likes cocaine and I guess kids.
Yeah, hanging out with babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he got what he wanted. And we're about roughly halfway through this episode of American Horror Story.
I would say we're definitely halfway through material-wise at the least, because like there is definitely a just in case it wasn't clear, if you're not watching along, every time they have Stevie Nicks do a song in this episode, it's a full song, like a full like length song. Like they just do a whole thing. So there's less episode than normal. Also, there's just a lot of time coming up here soon where Nan does a lot of things and then stops doing a lot of things in rapid succession, which I think you're gonna hate.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Indeed.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time for Stevie Nicks. Why are you still in my house? Bye.